All right, good morning. It is good to be with you today. We're going to be continuing in Ephesians because Ephesians is just a really, really good letter. So this week, the passage from Ephesians comes from chapter 5, starting in verse 15, going through this verse 21. And it says this: "So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity, because these are evil times. Because of this, don't be ignorant, but understand the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways: speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to each other out of respect for Christ. This is the story of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So there is a theme in the lectionary this week, and that theme is wisdom. Wisdom shows up in a few different places. It shows up here in Ephesians. It showed up earlier in the reading from Proverbs. It shows up a little bit in the Psalm 2, Psalm 34, which we're going to be reading from during our prayer time together later. And it's defined in a few different ways. Proverbs defines wisdom, it personifies wisdom, and then defines it as the fear of the Lord. And then the Psalm describes wisdom as honoring the Lord and seeking peace. And here in Ephesians, Paul instructs his readers to live their lives wisely, not foolishly. It's clear from these readings alone that wisdom is important, wisdom is valuable. Wisdom is something that we should long for, and it's something that we should strive for. But what exactly is wisdom? How do we live our lives wisely? I think we've come to understand wisdom in the wrong ways. One way that we might think of wisdom is we might think of it as a measurement of intelligence. If you're smart, it means that you are wise. And the smarter that other people think I am, the wiser they will think that I am. We think of wisdom and intelligence as these interchangeable terms, and we also think that we can equate wisdom with experience. The dictionary, I looked it up when I was doing my sermon prep this week, the dictionary actually defines wisdom as the quality of having knowledge, experience, and good judgment. And so usually when we refer to someone as wise, what we're actually saying is that we think this person's really intelligent, we think they're really smart, we think they're really experienced. It's kind of funny because we tend to describe wisdom in the same way that we describe professionals in different fields. We describe wisdom the same way that we would describe a professional athlete. Somebody who has a lot of experience, somebody who knows what they're talking about, somebody who knows what they're doing in that field. But can we really equate professionalism with wisdom? Is wisdom only really present where there's intelligence and experience? And I think that the answer is no. I think that wisdom is a lot more than that. And then there's another way that we've often misunderstood wisdom. The reading from Proverbs today tells us that wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and we've heard that said a lot, but we seriously misunderstand what this fear is. There's a Greek word that we usually find in passages that are talking about wisdom. The Greek word is phobo, and it translates as fear or reverence or respect. But we tend to only focus on this fear translation, and we try to make it fit with how we understand fear. Fear is bad, it's scary. And so we've come to believe that the fear of the Lord means that God is scary. Because God is always watching us, and God is just waiting for us to slip up. And once we slip up, God's going to send us to hell. And so if that's the case, then wisdom means that we have to follow all of the rules all of the time, which is exhausting. Because we're scared of what God's going to do to us if we don't. And it's funny, because in this passage, Paul says, always give thanks to God for everything. But it's kind of hard to give thanks to God for everything when we're scared of God, isn't it? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord, But it's not the kind of fear that we think. It's not seeing God as this terrifying, abusive deity that's just waiting for us to mess up. Because if that is wisdom, then wisdom kind of sucks. If that's wisdom, then I don't really want to be wise. I don't want the kind of wisdom that requires me to constantly be scared of God. There's no grace in that. There's no love in that. And it doesn't reflect who God really is. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to say that we think God is kind and gentle and loving and good, and yet at the same time believe that we need to constantly be terrified of God because God is just waiting for us to mess up. The kind of wisdom that requires us to be scared of God seriously misunderstands who God is. So wisdom isn't to be confused with intelligence or experience. And it's not something that's meant to be confused with being terrified of a God that's looking to punish us. Simply put, the way that we've been taught to understand wisdom is wrong. So then what is wisdom? First and foremost, it's the imitation of Christ. This is what Paul has been getting at in this letter to the Ephesians. This letter is not this complex list of do's and don'ts. It's an introduction to what it looks like to imitate Christ. It's an introduction to wisdom. Wisdom is the imitation of Christ. According to Ephesians, wisdom is speaking to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's building one another up instead of tearing one another down. It's looking out for the well-being of others and meeting the needs of others. It's giving thanks to God for everything. It's refusing to put ourselves first and instead submitting to each other out of respect for each other, which in turn is submitting to each other out of respect for Christ. And then there's more than that. According to the reading from Proverbs 9, wisdom is inviting everyone to the feast at the table. It's correcting each other in love. It's rejecting cynicism and it's embodying hope. And we'll read Psalm 34 in a little bit, and according to Psalm 34, wisdom is seeking to honor God. It is loving life. It's choosing to relish the chance to enjoy good things. Wisdom is found in the smallest of moments. It's found in taking the time to enjoy the presence of a friend over a cup of coffee. It's sharing a meal with someone. It's speaking the truth and doing good and seeking peace. To choose the way of wisdom is to choose to imitate Christ. In this letter to the Ephesians, Paul encourages those who follow Christ to live their lives wisely. And we can live our lives wisely because of the Spirit. It's because of the Spirit that we're able to imitate Christ. The Spirit is not limited to our foolishness, and that is good news. Instead, she empowers us and she guides us in the way of wisdom. We know what wisdom looks like because we've already seen it embodied in Christ. And we know that we can live our lives wisely because the Spirit empowers us to live in such a way. And it's good and it's beautiful that the Spirit empowers us, but we still have to choose to live in wisdom. The Spirit empowers us to build each other up, but we have to choose not to tear each other down. She empowers us to look out for each other's well-being and to meet each other's needs, but we have to choose to do these things. She empowers us to submit to one another in love and respect, but we have to choose not to prioritize ourselves. The Spirit sets the table, but we have to invite others to come to the feast. She empowers us to imitate Christ, but we have to choose to speak the truth and do good and seek peace. And this is our call to new life, to recognize that the Spirit empowers us to live in wisdom and to make the choice to imitate Christ. And Paul actually offers us a way that we can start living into this call to new life. In this part of the letter, Paul encourages the Ephesians to speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to each other with psalms and with hymns and spiritual songs, it's not simply a decorative, cutesy practice. It's an excellent way to embody our faith. But we really can't speak to each other with psalms if we're unfamiliar with the psalms. One of my dearest friends, Matt Codd, has testified several times to the ways in which the psalms have formed him and shaped him, and the ways that they've comforted him in some of the darkest moments of his life. He's testified to the psalms' ability to provide words when words are fleeting. And honestly, if you ever get a chance to listen to Matt Codd go on about the psalms, it truly is a gift. It's a glimpse at resurrection, I would even say. The way that he lights up when he speaks to their beauty and their power is inspiring, to say the least. And he's absolutely right. The Psalter is one of our greatest sources of prayer. It really is a gift. Dietrich Bonhoeffer took the Psalms really seriously, too. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was shaping his community at Finkenwald, which was a seminary he was a part of, one of the practices that he encouraged for his students was to pray the Psalms. And initially, his students resisted the practice. They thought it was too foreign. They thought it was too Catholic. They thought that it was way too structured for the Spirit of God to work through. But as they started to sink into the routine, they found the practice to be incredibly rich and formative. And as they left the seminary, they looked back on their time there in a way similar to how Israel looked back upon their wanderings in the desert. They looked back in fondness. Bonhoeffer later sent out circular letters to his students and his former students with the Psalms, and they all spoke to how in their loneliest, in their darkest days, praying the Psalms allowed for hope and community to break in. Bonhoeffer himself became so familiar with the Psalms that he interpreted current events through their lens. On Kristallnacht, Bonhoeffer actually wrote the dates of the atrocities in the margins of his scriptures. And while he was in prison, he testified about the Psalms. He said, "I read the Psalms every day as I have done for years. I know and I love them more than any other book." It appears Bonhoeffer took Paul at his word. The question is, will we? In case you didn't see them already, over by the staircase this morning, you'll find little booklets that have the daily Psalms for the next 4 weeks written in them. And I want to encourage you to take these with you and spend some time over the next month reading the Psalms and meditating on them and praying the Psalms. If you miss a day, it's okay. You don't have to try to make days up or anything. The one really good thing that the lectionary does with the daily readings is that it tends to repeat them a lot. So that repetition is a good formative prayer practice for it. And it also means that sometimes when we miss days, because we're going to miss days, it's okay. The Psalms unite us in our shared worship, but they also unite us as a sent people. And in addition to praying the Psalms, there are other really, really great formative practices that are like this too. One that I really like to go for is the prayer of St. Francis. That's a great place to start. St. Patrick had a lot of really great prayers, and there are others that you can find out there too. You can memorize the words of a hymn. Whatever it is, find a practice that forms you, that shapes you. Wisdom starts with making music to God in our hearts, and these are all excellent practices for doing that. These practices are great ways to start living into our call into new life and learning what it means to imitate Christ. Would you join me in prayer? God of love, you have called us to live our lives in wisdom. Forgive us for the ways in which we have misunderstood wisdom. Teach us what it means to grow in wisdom and to live a life that imitates Christ. Transform our hearts and minds that we might desire what you desire, that we might be willing to uplift one another, to set aside our own wants and to seek your peace. Your Spirit has already empowered us to choose wisdom. So may we actively and continuously choose to live in ways that imitate you. All of this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.